Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our text today is going to come from Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and it's going to be one verse of Scripture. And I pray that our Lord will prepare us to read it and to enter into what He has to say to His people right here. It's Psalm 62, verse 8. It says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Now, that's a wonderful verse of Scripture. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. And then the verse ends with the word Selah. And that word means just pause right there for a minute. Just pause and think about that. Sometimes we make a great mistake in thinking that our salvation is only a doctrine. Only a doctrine. Sometimes we miss out on the comfort because we see our hope to be in a series of facts. Some people look at this set of facts or that set of facts. And when we do that, we miss the comfort of entering into a personal relationship with the Savior of sinners. When we do that, our trust is confined to just a doctrine, a series of facts, and there's nothing to truly, truly embrace there. And I want us to know, and I want us to embrace the hope of glory, which is a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think of our Lord's dealings with His people as only being in the past. Sometimes we get separated from things because we feel like His dealings with His people are only in the past, or His dealings will one day again be in the future. But when we do that, we miss the comfort of His dealings with His people right now. Our Lord actively deals with His people right now. Verse 8 says, "Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him right now." Right now. If we are in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were chosen before the foundation of the world, way in the past, and if Christ came to shed His blood for us, to make us acceptable to God by Him, and if He went back to His Father to prepare a place for us that we will know in the future, if we have been elected and redeemed, who verse 8 calls us, that's who He is referring to when He says us. If we were made to be one of the us, then God is not just our God, He is our Father, our Heavenly Father. There's a lot of comfort in that. In Christ, that is the current condition of a sinner's relationship with Him. He's the Father. He's our Father. He is our God. He is our judge, but He is our Father. If you look with me at Psalm 103, it says in Psalm 103, verse 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." In the Scripture, there's always an us and a them. You'll notice that. Those who are in Christ are us. Those who are out of Christ are them, or they are a different group of people. And the same cannot be said for those who are outside of Christ, but for those who are in Christ. Verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And it's because He dealt with Christ after our sins. He rewarded Christ according to our iniquities. Verse 11 says, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, just like a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. That word pity, pitieth, that means tender affection. It means He has tender affection. It means compassion. Verse 13 says, Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. In Christ we have received the love of God our Father. God our Father. That's very, very comforting. Over in John chapter 17, in John 17, this is Christ praying to His Father, the Father. And it says in verse 1, These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Speaking of His work that He would accomplish on the cross. Verse 2, As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Who all will be saved? Who all will be accepted into this relationship with God? Here's the answer. Every soul that the Father chose and gave to Christ to save. That's the answer. Verse 6, He said, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. He said, Every soul You gave to Me out of the world, not the entire world. Christ didn't die for the entire world. Christ died for every soul that God the Father selected out of the world. Verse 9, He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. That's who Christ prayed for. That's who Christ interceded for. That's who Christ died for. That's who Christ saved. That's the us that Psalm 62 is speaking of. Those are the people when it says in our text, ye people. That's who He's talking about, particular people. Now, He said in verse 22, right here in John 17, He said, The glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. If we could only enter in to how much God the Father loves Christ. If we could, we can't in our sinful flesh, we just can't. But if we could truly enter into how much God the Father loves Christ, His Son, could it ever be fathomed how much God the Father loves Christ? He said He is the apple of the Father's eye, the sole object of His delight, His darling, beloved Son, the one that He's chosen to be the inheritor of everything He has. God the Father said, I'm giving everything to Him. I'm bestowing it all on Him. All the spiritual blessings of heaven are given to Him. And if it could be fathomed how much God the Father loves Christ, then it could be fathomed how much God the Father loves His people who are in Christ. Because He said, Father, He said, in Me, you're going to love them just as much as you love Me. It's an amazing thought. Over in John chapter 20, This is just after our Lord rose from the grave, and Mary Magdalene was the first person that saw him. And this is what he said to her in John 20, verse 17. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." What he's saying is, in what I just accomplished on the cross, in the payment that I just made with my own blood, he said, you've been bought into the family of God, redeemed, ransomed, price paid, adopted into the family of God. The pages have been signed, sealed, all in his blood. And Christ said, now, not only is he my Father, but he's your Father too. Our Lord told a group of people who were not in Christ and not given to Christ from the Father, he told them, you're of your father, the devil. He said, you don't have the same Father. But to all those who are in him and in his blood, he said, he's my Father and he's your Father. And he said, you're welcome to just cry out to him, our Father. That's what he said in Matthew 6 when he taught them to pray. He said, you say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The union of love that God's people have been given is an amazing love, and it's with the Heavenly Father. Now, if you have your Bible there, hold your place in John and look with me at Revelation 21. It says in Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9 right here, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb's wife. How much love does Christ have for the souls that the Father gave to him? All of those people that the Father gave to him, and he said, I'm your Father and I'm their Father. How much love does Christ have for those sinful souls that he redeemed with his own blood? The souls that the Holy Scripture calls her. That's what the word refers to God's people as, her. How much love does Christ have for her? So much love, he married her. The Father gave her to Christ, and Christ married her. Christ became the husband of the bride. And very sadly, I hate to say this for all of God's people's concern, but sadly, she very much defiled herself before him. It's so sad how those who were given to Christ treated him and defiled themselves with sin. There's a story of Hosea and Gomer and how this wonderful man married a wretched, wretched woman. And that's the story of the sinful souls that the Father gave to Christ. They defiled themselves and they were unfaithful to him. He was nothing but faithful to her, but she was unfaithful to him and sinned against him. Because of that, he had every right to put her away. According to the law, Christ could have put his wife away, but he didn't do that. He did not put her away. If you look back at John 13, it says in John 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Thank God. He loved them to the end in spite of them. In spite of what they did, in spite of what they were, He loved them to the end. He had every right to lay down the law on His bride. Every right, but that's not what He did. He didn't lay down the law. He laid down His life for her. That's what He did. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Oh, the love of the Father for His children. You think about that. Oh, the love of Christ for His bride. Dwell on that. And if you want to look with me at Romans chapter 8, it says in Romans 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Spirit is constantly groaning intercessions for God's people. Constantly. Constantly. Interceding on their behalf. If you look at verse 16 right here in Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Spirit is constantly speaking peace to our hearts, constantly bringing intercession to the Father, and constantly speaking peace to our hearts. And the Spirit is constantly drawing us back to our Savior and our husband, our spiritual husband, saying, "Come." Constantly. Why is the Spirit constantly doing that for God's people? Why? Here's the answer. Love. Love. God's people are prone to wander, prone to leave the God that they love and who loved them. But the Spirit won't allow it to happen. Love is what constrains God's people, the love of the Spirit. Love is what quickened God's people in the first place, gave life to them. Love is what calls God's people. It's what called them the first time and calls them every time thereafter. Love, the song says, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. That's what does it. Now, back in Psalm 62, if God the Father has chosen us in Christ, we're talking about who the us are and who these particular people are, and if we are among them. If the Father has chosen us in Christ and redeemed us in Christ and called us in Christ, and if He's revealed to us that everything that we are and everything we have and everything will ever be is of Him, by Him, through Him, to Him, if He's revealed to us that all of our hope of glory is in what He has done for us, not what we've done for Him, but what He's done for us. He starts everything. He finishes everything. He is our God. If He's revealed that to us, He is our God, and we are His people. If He's revealed that to us, then He is our God, and we're His people. We are in His hands. We belong to Him. If God has called us to that and revealed that to our hearts and made that known to us, then here's His word to us. All right, here's His word to us. Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." A refuge. A refuge is a hiding place. It's a shelter. It's a place of safety and protection. David said, "In the time of trouble, He will hide me." He'll hide me. If He hid us in the secret of His tabernacle through our great time of trouble, that great time, if He sheltered us through the judgment of our sin, that's a man's That's a woman's greatest time of trouble, that moment when he or her has to be judged for their sin. And all of the us, all of God's people, were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, there's a judgment still to come. But in Christ, it's already happened. He sheltered his people in the secret of his tabernacle. And if he did that for us then, he'll do it for us now. He'll shelter us through every trouble that comes. There are many, many troubles in the world. And he's our refuge. He's our shelter. David said, trust in him. Trust him. Trust your father. Trust your husband. Trust your friend, that spirit that calls. Trust the one who saved you. Verse 8 says, at all times. At all times. David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now that's so hard to do. In our flesh, that is just so hard to do. With man, that's impossible to truly trust the Lord. But with God, all things are possible. There's a song that says, oh, for grace to trust him more. If I'm going to trust him more, he's going to have to give me that ability. So verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. I wanted to bring this message to you because if God has given you a heart for his word, to see the truth in his word, and to cast your all on Christ, I want to tell you to trust in him and pour out your heart to him. Do you need somebody to talk to? We all do. There are times when we need somebody to talk to. Pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him. In the same way that you can pour out your heart crying, Lord, I'm just going to be honest, I'm a sinner before you. My only hope is that you chose to put me in Christ. And you chose to redeem me from my sins. That's my only hope. In the same way that we can go to him for that great need that we have of salvation, we can go to him for everything. He's our father. He's our husband. He's our friend. Pour out your heart to him. He poured out his soul unto death for you. If he has called you to himself, he poured out his soul unto death so that you could pour out your heart to him. He made himself to be touched with the feeling of your infirmities so that you could bring all your infirmities to him. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin, just so we could bring every trial we go through to him. Every trial. Psalm 46 is another psalm that says, pour out your heart to him. Pour it out. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. That's speaking of Christ. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. This is our God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, the God of the center, is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He does all these things. Now listen to verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Trust in Him. Pour your heart out to Him. If He has given you eyes to see Christ, pour your heart out to Him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. He said, "You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." All your heart. Empty your heart. Pour out your heart to Him. All of your heart. All of your heart. And you'll find a refuge there. You truly will. If you need a refuge right now, we need a refuge from sin. We need a refuge from judgment. And Christ has provided that for us. Christ has provided that for every soul that God the Father gives faith to believe on Him alone. And if He's done that for you, He'll be a refuge for everything else that you go through in life. Pour out your heart to Him. If you need a shelter in the time of storm, pour out your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." If God has given you the ability to cast all your care on Him, He only gives that ability to His people. And if He's given that to you, cast it on Him, pour it out to Him, and you'll find a refuge. You'll find a place of safety. If our all it was cast on Him in Christ on the cross, our all can be cast on Him throughout all eternity. Pour your heart out. Cast your soul on Him. You'll find a refuge. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.